Thank you, Pete. Good afternoon. We are more than I thought. Kind of gathered slowly here just as 1:30 approached. So I thought we were sparse, but it looks pretty full. Greetings to those at home, including my wife. Are you fond of reading the book of Numbers? Maybe not. No. Heard of people who started out to read the whole Bible and got pretty bogged down when they got to the book of Numbers. Well, I can sympathize with that. It's probably not the place, especially to start. Especially if you're new to the Bible, the importance of the details in the book of Numbers really can't be appreciated until you get the big picture. But once you get the big picture of the Bible, you can dig some fairly interesting things out of Numbers. I'd like to take one example today from Numbers chapter 3. I'm just going to hit the high points here, the outline of what went on in that chapter. In chapter 3, verse 15, God commanded, "Number the children of Levi, the tribe." And they did so, and skipping down to verse 39, all that were numbered of the Levites, all the males, that is, were 22,000, apparently exactly 22,000 adult males in that tribe. And then in verse 40, and the Lord then said to Moses, "Number all the firstborn of all the males of the children of Israel." And they did that in verse 43, and all the firstborn males, that is the firstborn males of all the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males of the whole nation were 22,213, or 22,273. Very similar number. But there were 273 more firstborn than males in the tribe of Levi. So God said in verse 46, "For those that are to be redeemed of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites," says in verse 47, "take 5 shekels apiece," and 48, "and give the money unto Aaron and his sons." In other words, this event is a payment for every last one of the firstborn males of the whole nation of Israel. They're paid for, man for man, by the men out of the tribe of Levi, and then 5 shekels apiece for the extra 273 that were different. Why? Right? Why the trade here? I'd like to review this afternoon who Israel's firstborn were, and then who they became, and then draw some parallels between their role and the role of the church. So in the Old Testament, my first point is that the firstborn were purchased by the Passover. Passover, the final blow to Egypt. And it brought all of Israel, of course, out of Egypt. But who died on that terrible night and who didn't die because of the blood? It was the firstborn of Egypt who died on that night. And it was the firstborn of Israel who survived because of the blood, specifically saved by the blood of the Lamb. So as God told the Israelite parents to tell it in the future, in Exodus 13:15, he says, the Israelite parents are to say, "The Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Therefore, all the firstborn of my children I redeem." We do that today. That it was for that reason that God had laid claim to all the firstborn males of the children of Israel. Each firstborn was either to be dedicated to the service of God, or he was to be bought out of that service with a price, with money. So in that sense, the firstborn of Israel were the priesthood. They were chosen to be a priesthood. They belonged to God because he had spared their lives. And this continued right up into Sinai with the giving of the Ten Commandments and the And then the Book of the Covenant in Exodus chapters 20 through 24. At that time, the firstborn were still the priesthood, and that was part of the law. In Exodus 22, 29, it says, "The firstborn of your sons shall you give unto me," still at Sinai. Point two, though, God then chose Levi in their stead. God chooses the tribe of Levi. You know, the Ten Commandments, the Book of the Covenant, they were all formalizations of old principles, principles that had been observed for hundreds of years by people like Abraham. But then came something new. It was the ritual law of the tabernacle. Moses went up on the mountain. What did he receive up there? He received the ritual law of the tabernacle and its service. That is the law that was added because of transgressions, as Paul calls it in Galatians chapter 3. And while Moses was up on that mountain receiving that new law, the people, of course, you know, fell into idolatry. And Moses comes down from the mountain angry. So Exodus 32, in verse 26, just to summarize, Moses said at that time, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And who comes? "And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, put every man his sword by his side, go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell the people that day about 3,000 men, the idolaters, slaughtered by the children of Levi." And that is the key reason for the shifting of the role of the priesthood from the firstborn to the tribe of Levi. In Numbers chapter 3 again, the exchange is made, as I read at the beginning. The 22,000 Levites are traded for the 22,763 firstborn. So the tribe of Levi becomes the priesthood of the firstborn. Numbers chapter 3, verse 5 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister to him." And verse 9 of chapter 3 says, "You shall give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him." New priesthood of the firstborn. Now in the New Testament, there are again changes made. As there was a new law given at Sinai, there are changes made in the New Testament. They're all explicitly, or most explicitly, addressed in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews being addressed to Jewish Christians of Paul's churches, I believe it was written to counter some confusion about those changes in the law, confusion caused by Jewish Gnostic allegories being taught about a new tabernacle, about strange new roles of angels and the priesthood of Melchizedek. And in Hebrews, Paul clarifies. First thing he clarifies in chapter 7, number 1, there's a change in the law. There's a change in the law. He argues in chapter 7 of Hebrews for a new high priest. A new high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is a change in the ceremonial law, right? The law of worship, obviously. The new high priest replaces the family of Aaron, which was the deal made back in Sinai. And there's a change in sacrifice, of course. The sacrifice of Christ ends the need for the tabernacle rituals. There is no more tabernacle at all. God will not be worshipped by anymore in a tabernacle made with hands. And the firstborn now, is there a firstborn in the New Testament? I say there is, and they do not merely serve in the tabernacle or the temple. They are the temple. The firstborn are the temple. Ephesians chapter 2, I'll just quote you two verses. I've got a lot of little verses to quote, so I won't turn to them all. But Ephesians 2:21 says, "In whom, that is in Christ, all the building, which is the temple, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord." Verse 22, "In whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." The church is the temple in the new law. It is the assembly of the firstborn. And that word is used explicitly by Paul in chapter 12, verse 23 of Hebrews, where he says, "You are come to the church of the firstborn." Church are the firstborn, just as the Levites fulfilled the priesthood of the firstborn in the Old Testament. And there are several other ways that the language of the New Testament indicates that the church serves in the same way as the tribe of Levi was to serve in the Old Testament. And note some of these words that show that similarity. The word number two, the end point number two here, under the New Testament, first fruits. First fruits, the word first fruits. The church is also first fruits. And first fruits is linked to firstborn. They're different, but they're linked together. Just as the law also linked them together, I'll just give you one reference. Exodus 22, 29 says, "You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe fruits. The firstborn of your sons shall you give unto me." They were linked together. The church is also the first fruits, as we know from Pentecost, that Christ is the first of the first fruits, but the church are the next. And Paul and others refer to the church as, of course, the first fruits. Romans 8, 23, "Ourselves which have the first fruits of the Spirit." And James 1, 18 says that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So in the language of the New Testament, the church is both firstborn and first fruits. Number three, the word priesthood. The word priesthood. Peter and John specifically refer to the church as a priesthood. I think they have, you know, the Levitical priesthood in mind. 1 Peter 2:5, these are familiar verses. "You are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices." Revelation 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. So I think the parallel between the Levites and the church is striking, that the church of the firstborn is a priesthood, and the tribe of Levi became a priesthood by becoming the successors of the firstborn. Number four, the word purchased. The firstborn are purchased by the Passover. Redeemed or bought, that's what it means. 1 Corinthians 7:23, "You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, three verses here, "That we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ," and he says in the next verse, "sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise," and in 1:14, "which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession." We are, as the church, a purchased possession. So the first resurrection is of those who are Christ, that is, purchased by the Passover, given to the service of Christ, just as the Levites were given to the service of Aaron. I'm not saying that Christ's sacrifice is not for everyone. It is. Christ has sacrificed once for all humanity, but not everyone is called now. There's an order, right? At the Passover, there is a redemption, a purchase of the firstborn. Then there's a second application of the blood, and that's the Day of Atonement. Number five, last word here, nearness. Nearness to God. Similarity between the Levites and the church. If you examine Numbers chapter 2, you'll find that the 12 tribes were arrayed around the tabernacle as they camped, three tribes on each side. But in the center, around the tabernacle, camped the tribe of Levi. And Paul might have that kind of nearness in mind in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, when he says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ." That is, you are bought, and now you are the priesthood around that tabernacle. In fact, you are the tabernacle. He bought us by Christ at the Passover, and he brings us into a nearness as if it were to be near the tabernacle, with direct access to the high priest and to the mercy seat. You know, you could go on and on, probably. There are many duties of the priesthood that hold many parallels, I think, to the duties of the church. Their faithfulness, for example. The faithfulness of the Levites to their duties is an example of the faithfulness that the church is to have toward its duties. That relatively small group, the firstborn, were bought by the first Passover, and then they were swapped. The Levites were swapped into that role, and they were given to the high priest as belonging to him. And God was their inheritance. You know, when they entered the land was not their inheritance. God was their inheritance. They were a tribe of kings and priests. They were dedicated to the administration of the nation and to the education of the nation. And now in the New Testament, the nation of Israel has widened. The nation of Israel now is the whole world. And similarly, there is a small tribe in that world that is the church. The church is destined to fill, I think, the same role that was intended for the Levites, both now and when the world enters the promised land after Christ's return.